Okay, if you have your Bibles, we're in the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis. And Genesis is an interesting book. It's the book of beginnings. And of course, as we go through this, we see, first of all, kind of in retrospect, that God created Adam, and then from his side he took a rib and created Eve. And so Adam, that makes Adam the federal head of the entire human family, for Eve as well as all of those born to Eve and born to women after the fall. And so the promise was that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. And that promise was given in the Garden of Eden. And then we see subsequently that man's heart was only evil. It was on the evil. The concept that he could be like God by the life that he lived. And that at the time when the angels came down and cohabited with the daughters of men, I'm sure that those women thought that they were going to produce the Christ. No. It was just another manifestation of the flesh, and it was an attempt by the devil to stop God's plan of redemption, which is impossible. You know, but the devil's never going to stop trying until he's cast into the lake of fire, and then he won't be able to try anymore. But until that point in time, and we're not too far from that, if I'm, you know, my sense of prophecy is, you know, is accurate at all. We know we're in the last days, but just how far we are into the last days, only God knows the day and the hour. So then after that, we came to Abram, and we saw that he was commanded of God to get out of your country and get into a land that I will show you. And then Terah, his father, took over, and they went as far as Haran. And Haran represents the flesh, and they remained there until the old man died. And when we look at the New Testament, both in Colossians and in Galatians, we see, or in Ephesians it is, we see that the old man represents the flesh, and he's ever with us. You know? And we as believers in Jesus Christ, and we're going to see this now as we get into the birth of Ishmael. Last time we looked at the covenant relationship that God promised Abram. And, of course, he was getting older and older. And he was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. And he was 99 years old when he was told that next year at this time you're going to have a son. And so we see, as with us, sometimes we act in faith. And sometimes we take the promises of God and we just, somehow or other, they don't have the effect upon us that they should have. And, you know, that's the flesh. And so as we begin this 16th chapter, we read now Sarai. And the word, it would actually be pronounced Sarai in Hebrew. And she was Abram's wife, and she—that word means like domineering or dominant. Okay, and so now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar, and Sarai said unto Abram, "Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. Now this was a what? This is Sarah, or you know, Sarai. this is, she's operating the flesh. All of us as believers can either operate in the flesh or in the spirit. It's no different in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, except in the New Testament, we are permanently indwelt by the Spirit of God. And those Old Testament believers who believed, the Spirit of God came upon them for service, but they couldn't be indwelt by the Spirit until Christ was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead. So that's why Jesus went into the grave and led captivity captive. That is, he took the souls of all of the Old Testament saints and some of the bodies, probably the 164,000, he took them out of the grave and into heaven, and they were received up. He was received up in a cloud. Well, I believe the cloud was the 144,000, I said 64,000, 144,000, were clothed in white linen, which represents the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. So the Lord was caught up in the clouds to ascend into heaven. We know that when he comes in his second coming, he's going to come in the clouds. Now, when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to depart and be with Christ is far better. But our body goes into the grave. You can do whatever you want with it. It can be eaten by sharks. It can be, you know, run through that movie Fargo. You know, ran his buddy through the chipper to get rid of the body, you know. And, you know, you can do whatever you want to this body of ours, but God will, at a point in time, bring all of the elements that make up our body back together. In the meantime, Jesus promised in the 14th chapter of John, he promised, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, and in my Father's house are translated many mansions. That means dwelling places. So the moment that we die in this age, our body goes into the grave or however it's disposed of, but our soul and spirit are translated immediately into the presence of God in heaven. And we see that in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, where Paul had the experience when he was stoned to death at Lystra, and they literally stoned him to death and dragged his body out to the dump. And he testifies of it later, and he said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. He does it like it's a third person, like it's somebody else. And he's such in one, you know, who's caught up into heaven, I messed up on quoting it, but basically he was caught into the presence of God in heaven. He couldn't tell whether he was in his body or out of his body. And he saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. Yeah. Why? Because if we knew too much about heaven, none of us would want to stay in this sin-wracked world or in these sin-wracked bodies of ours. Yeah. We would immediately want to be translated into heaven. So in order to have a people that know the truth on the earth, we remain in these bodies. Some shorter period of time, some a longer period of time. When my dad died at 44, as I got closer to that age, I thought about it. Of course, I was a believer at that time, you know, and I was in the ministry and preaching and teaching the Word of God, but, you know, it was just it came into my mind because that was the age that my dad was when he died. Now, my mother, on the other hand, lived, what was it, about 6 weeks, 5 weeks, short of her 97th birthday. So there's both longevity, and I believe that the Lord took my father in order to reach the rest of us. And my sister was saved, my brother was saved, I was saved. others in the family were saved as a result of that. Not because of my dad's death, but it made us conscious of our spiritual need. Yeah. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So the Word of God has to be preached in order for us to be saved. But where are we going to hear it preached? You know, that's why Jesus told the church, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he didn't say go into all the world and save souls. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel. We plant and we water by teaching, but God gives the increase. So it's just like your garden. If you mess with it too much, you put the seeds in, then you keep looking to see whether they've germinated. You know, you're never going to have a crop. So we plant and we water, but it's God that gives the increase. So with respect to Abram's wife, Sarai, I'll just say Sarai because we always pronounce it that way, rather than trying to pronounce it as it would be pronounced in Hebrew. And so Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing, I pray thee, go in unto my maid. Now, think about all of the churches under the canopy of Christianity that they're not seeing much happen. This church is a good example. We've got to the place where we've filled it up several times, has emptied out, filled it up, emptied out. We're kind of on a coming back a little bit now, but our attendance, as far as the world is concerned, or as far as Hagar is concerned, when she gave birth to a child, Ishmael, Sarai, who gave Abram the permission to go into his maid, she was despised in Hagar's sight. Okay. And basically, if you think about that, small churches that preach the truth are really despised by the larger churches that have, you know, they pander to the flesh and they have a great number of people. And it doesn't mean that there aren't saved people in those churches and that the souls aren't saved in those churches. But they're really pandering to the flesh in order to have a great increase. So as we go through this, we'll see both historical events and allegorical events. Yeah. Or the historical events become allegorical and teach us spiritual truth. So she said to Abram, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. No argument. Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. So then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband. What? Sarai is one big, she's going to go from being dominant, like the flesh, to being a princess, or the bride of Christ. Okay. And so she gave her to Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw, that is when Hagar saw that she had conceived, she despised Sarah. And we kind of fall into that category a little bit, a little church. You know, when I was at First Baptist Church for quite a few years teaching, I taught probably 150, maybe 200 people in the first hour, and about 100, sometimes more, you know, people. It's kind of cyclic as far as attendance is concerned. But we've never in this church had an attendance of 300. We couldn't seat 300 people. You know, we'd make room if the Lord chose. You know, and there's many times when I thought, well, we might have to take out a wall and enlarge the auditorium, and then people would, you know, move away. this, that, take from the way people have died, you know, all of the things that come along. And so we've gone up and down. So in the eyes of the big churches, they look at us as if we're doing nothing. Yeah. Now, all we're doing is preaching the truth and teaching the truth. It's God that gives the increase. Okay. So then Hagar despised Sarah. And so I said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. Now, people ignore that. They want to make Abram sinless, you know, because God made a covenant relationship with him, and all the families of the earth are going to be blessed in Abraham. But they forget that the scripture says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So when Sarah, who represents the grace of God, and we'll see that over in the fourth chapter of Galatians, when she succumbed and gave her maid, who, you know, basically is the flesh, portrayed as the flesh in the fourth chapter of Galatians, when she gave her to Abram, he went into her and produced many more children. And the scripture says over in Galatians that the bondwoman has many more children than she which has a husband. So then what did Sarah say? She said, or Sarai at this point in time, she said to Abram, you know, my wrong be upon thee. You know, you didn't argue. You just submitted to the flesh. Okay? And I have never, ever heard any preachers, and I've some, you know, Brother Stewart was right on the grace of God, but I've never ever heard Abraham's being referred to as the error of Sarah being put upon Abraham, you know, and Sarah put it there. So the grace of God puts what? All of our faults on the flesh. We're saved by grace. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that He saved us. And we're all subject to the flesh. You know? And with God, we would never be subject to the flesh, but we are. So Abraham said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And so when we are preaching the grace of God and saying that there's only one way into the presence of God, it's by God's grace through faith, and we see other churches that pander to the flesh so that the flesh can produce, and then we're despised in their eyes, but really the wrong falls upon the one that goes into her, you know, to produce. And in the case of the church, that would be the pastor. When he gives into the flesh so that he can have more people, you know, the wrong is on him. Because of all people in the church that ought to know the truth, the pastor should know the truth. Okay? But it seems sometimes that he doesn't. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain, so Hagar fled along with Ishmael. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, or found her in the wilderness by the fountain in the way to Shur, and said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. Now, at this point, we have to go back. Let's read one more verse. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. Now let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. And in Galatians chapter 3, and first of all, let's look at verse 24, and where it says, Wherefore the law and Hagar, the firstborn, the flesh, is equivalent to the law. Man tries to fulfill the law by the flesh, and it's impossible for him to do it. So wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. It showed us that we were guilty to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, what? We're no longer under a schoolmaster. Okay, so now let's pick up at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. And I think we'll have enough time to get into the fourth chapter and look at the allegory. But it says, O foolish Galatians. Well, let's go back up. Paul said in verse 20 of the second chapter, I am or I was. You know, it's a past tense verb. I was crucified with Christ. The Anglican Church, along with many other churches, believe that we put the flesh to death daily, and so that's something that's dependent upon us. No, when Christ died, we died. When Christ was buried, we were buried. When Christ arose from the dead, we arose with him. And the confession of sin over in 1 John is a present tense verb at the time of salvation. It's in the subjunctive mood. We may or may not do it. If we do it, then in times past we died with Christ, we were buried with Christ, and raised with Christ. So we're no longer under the law. Okay? So then I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh. You know, I'm in a fleshly body, subject to sin. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's what Christ did by faith in our behalf that we live by. It's not our own personal faith, because it can get pretty shaky. Faith cometh by hearing. If you're not hearing much of the Word of God, you're going to be pretty unstable as a believer in Jesus Christ. You know? And we see the prodigal who fled in, a Jew that fled into a Gentile land because he was feeding pigs, and Jews can't eat pigs. So he fled to the Gentiles, and there he would have fain feed himself with a husk, which were carob husks come off a tree, not corn husks. But no one would give it to him. You know. And then his father came to him, he was convinced in my father's house. God came to him in spirit, convicted him of the fact, look where you are. And he fled home, and where was his father? He was standing waiting for him with a robe in his hand and a ring for his finger. Yeah. So we as believers in Jesus Christ live in this world. We make mistakes in this world. It's not an excuse to make mistakes, but it's our nature. You know? And we can either operate in the Spirit by the Word of God, or we can operate in the flesh by the lust of the flesh. Okay? That's who we are. And so Paul says, Peter says, Paul says of himself, I was crucified with Christ. And then he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died. How? It says in vain. It really means there was no purpose for his death. He died uselessly if we can be justified by the works of our own hands. So then he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? When I came and preached the grace of God, you received it, you know. And then Judaizers came along, and you're vacillating back and forth between law and grace because they've confused you. You've forgotten what you were taught. And so, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? Now, there's a motive to be in the flesh, because Hagar has many more children than she which has a husband. Okay, now let's jump ahead. And Well, let's read verse 3, verse 2. This is only what I learn of you. How did you receive the Spirit of God? Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Which was it? The hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? That's by the hearing of faith. Are you now made perfect by the flesh? That is, you as a believer in Jesus Christ trying to live an example to the world so that they might see how good you are and want to be like you. And that's preached in church after church after church, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and occasionally the grace of God will come out and souls will actually be saved. Okay. So, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you or in you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How do we as believers in Jesus Christ operate? How was Abraham to operate? You know, he was to believe God, and he did, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So then as we continue on, we'll get into verse 13 then. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book to law them, the book of the law to do them. So we're cursed by the law. The Jews were cursed by the law. The only way that we can be justified before God is not by law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law in our behalf. You know, the law had to be satisfied. Christ did it. He's the only one who could do it, and he's the only one who did do it. Okay? Now, to Abraham and his seed, verse 16, where the promise is made, he saith not, and the seed as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So when God made the promise to Abraham that of his seed, all of the families of the earth were to be blessed, it wasn't the natural seed that came from Ishmael or the natural seed that came from Isaac. Even though Isaac is spiritually a type of Christ, and he was sacrificed on Mount Moriah, portraying, up to the point that the knife was raised, Isaac was a type of Christ. And then God stopped him and put the ram in his stead, and then he became a type of you and me. So Christ died in our stead. And then when he came alive from the mount, Abraham had said to the servants, I and my and the lad will go yonder and worship. And then the second part of the sentence doesn't have a subject, so we have to supply the subject from the first part of the sentence, if you ever learned English, and I and the lad will return it again to you. So Abraham believed, according to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, if he put his son to death, God would raise him to life again. From whence also it says in Hebrews, he received him in a figure, or he was allegorically put to death and raised from the dead and returned alive, just as our Lord actually was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead. Now, so, and this I say, that the covenant, speaking of the law, was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, or the covenant that was confirmed before to Abraham, was confirmed of God, and it was confirmed of God was fulfilled in Christ. The law, which was 430 years after, cannot annul it. We have double negatives, you know that in Greek. The translators tried to be very literal. There's no such word as disannul. You have a double negative, it makes it a positive. Okay. So, it cannot annul what Christ has done. That it should make the promise that God made to Adam and Eve in the garden, that God made after their sin, that God made to Abraham, that God made to Noah, that God made to David and all of the nation of Israel, which was portrayed in the sacrificial system, because the Jews would always fail before the law, and when they failed before the law, they had to bring what? An animal sacrifice. The blood had to be shed, because without the shedding of blood is no remission. So it tells us then in verse 25, but after that, the faith, that's the body of truth, portrayed in shadows and types in the Old Testament, portrayed in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, and that which our faith is based upon, we believe that Christ fulfilled the law in our behalf, He died in our behalf, and therefore we're justified freely by His grace, so we're no longer under a schoolmaster. So, in the fourth chapter, it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant. So, can Weston do whatever Weston wants to do? He's have to get his body spanked for doing it. You know, he's not old enough to make the decisions, you know, and the parents have to go along with it. You know, that's true of all children. Even as they get into their teens and begin to turn into adults, they're still under the authority of their parents. Okay? And in Israel, the age of accountability was 20 years of age. Yeah. What it actually is with more revelation, I don't know. But everybody from maybe it was 20 years old and under, was preserved. And so from 21 and older, maybe that's where we got the term 21 to be responsible. Yeah. And of course, we've changed that because the Democrats want to keep being elected. Yeah. And now they want to reduce it to 16. What does a 16-year-old, on average, know about the operation of this country? They no longer teach them history. They no longer teach them the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, any of those things. They don't teach that. The Declaration of Independence, they're totally ignorant. And if you have an ignorant people, then you can tell them anything and they'll believe you. You know? And you can tell them, look, we're going to create a universe in which you don't have to pay for anything. It's never worked anywhere in the world. You know, every communist and socialism is just the nice name for communism. You know, socialism is what you call it to get into power, and communism is what you have after they're in power, and it's an iron hand, and you dare not rise up against the authority. Okay? So let's go on now into this fourth chapter. And verse 19, and I think we've got just about enough time to cover this. And this will show us the relationship between Hagar and Sarah, that it was not only historical, it was allegorical. My little children, verse 19, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. The Judaizers came along and legalized those that were saved by grace. And some of them were being confused by it and thinking they had to be circumcised because the Judaizers told them they had to be circumcised. So he says, I desire to be present with you and now and change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me ye that desire to be under the law. Now, most churches under the canopy of Christianity teach that you're covered by infant baptism until you reached, puberty. And then from puberty on, you're responsible to keep the law. And if you fail, you have to go to the priest, confess your sins. You get saved all over again. Just another form of, Pentecostalism, Romanism. The majority of the churches under the canopy of Christianity teach that Christians maintain their salvation by the lives that they live. No. Our salvation is maintained by the fact that Christ bore the judgment of our sins, was crucified, buried, and rose dead, and because He lives, we shall live also. It's not dependent upon us one little bit. not an iota. In English, we'd say iota. In Greek, you'd say iota. Okay. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born, how? After the flesh. Who were the two fleshly individuals that did that? Abraham and Hagar. Okay. So Abraham was in the flesh when he went into Hagar, and that's why Sarah said to him, you know, I gave you my permission, but my fault falls on you. Okay. Because you were a willing participant. Okay? What does that say about all these people that try to teach us that Abraham was sinless? Yeah. But he that was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Now, when Sarah had passed through menopause, she no longer had a monthly cycle. Abraham was old and impotent. There was no way naturally that they could come together and produce a child. But then God interceded and restored to Abraham his potency and opened Sarah's womb, and she began to have a monthly cycle again, and then Isaac was born. So Isaac was born because of the intervention of God. So Isaac represents, his birth represents the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The only one that was ever born of a virgin was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that ever fulfilled the law. He's the only one that could, because he's God. Okay. But to represent that allegorically, we see it represented allegorically by the condition that they were in. So, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. So, who does Hagar represent? Mount Sinai. What do Moses get on Mount Sinai? The law. You know, what does the law demand? Performance for right relationship with God. Can anyone perform it? No. The only one that can perform it is God, and he did so in the person of Jesus Christ. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. So the Jews were in bondage. They're still in bondage. They didn't recognize the Christ. Many did, but the majority did not recognize the Christ. When he came, they said, crucify him, crucify him. We will not have this man to rule over us. And many of the churches under the canopy of Christianity, which give lip service to faith in Christ, are saying the same thing. Oh, we're saved by God's grace, but we have to keep ourselves saved by our performance of the law. And that's taught more. And the churches that teach that, like Hagar, have many more children than she which hath an husband. So, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written about Sarah, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate Hagar, you know, she was cast out, hath many more children than she which hath an husband. So those people that teach morality week after week in churches across this country, give lip service to faith in Christ, they always have many more members than those of us who teach the grace of God. You know, particularly in the age in which we live, because we're coming down to the end of the age. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. That is, God made a promise to Abraham, and God made a promise to Adam and Eve. And that promise was fulfilled in what? The seed of the woman. And if we'd read all of the third chapter of Genesis, we'd find that the seed of Abraham is singular. It's a reference to Jesus Christ. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, What saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman. What is it? Cast out the idea that you have to live a holy, just life to be in a right relationship with God. Now, let me say this. Otherwise, people are going to say we teach grace that sin might abound. They accused Paul of that. And Paul said of them, their damnation was just. And anybody that condemns us for preaching the grace of God without the deeds of the law, their damnation is just as well, because they will be damned because they don't have their faith in the person and work of Christ. They have their faith in the works of their own hands. Okay? And we have to recognize that. So, yes, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise, but as then he that was born after the flesh, that is Ishmael, persecuted him that was born after the spirit. He's still doing it. Ishmael has many more children. Ishmael occupies most of the Middle East. And all that was promised to Abraham, you know, is really promised to Isaac. But Isaac has never possessed all of it. Ishmael possesses most of it. And so in the natural realm, it's fulfilled in Ishmael. But in the spiritual realm, when Christ comes, all of the land, you know, that from the Nile River to the mouth of the Euphrates, everywhere that Abraham put his foot, belongs to Israel. So that means a good part of Egypt, the Sinai Peninsula, across the Red Sea, Arabia, all the way up to Israel, common day Israel, past the Dead Sea. All of that belongs to Israel. Everything that is in the modern state of Jordan belongs to Israel. And the Prime Minister of Great Britain during World War II, all of a sudden, Winston Churchill, he boasted that he created the modern state of Jordan in 1 hour in Egypt. You know? But that is, Jordan also belongs to Israel, okay? And she won't possess it until the Lord comes, and she looks on him when the nation of Israel looks on him that she cursed and crucified, then she's going to have her faith in Jesus Christ. And then during the kingdom age, Israel will possess, along with us, all of the land from the Nile, you know, a good part of the Middle East, you know. And right now, Israel's smaller than the state of New Jersey. So, what does it tell us then? So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman. Who does the bondwoman represent? Law and works. But of the free woman. Who does Sarah represent? Grace and faith. Okay. So what does he tell us in the very first verse of the fifth chapter? You know, what we could say to people as they go to the polls in November. You know, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that we had from the beginning in this country, which made this country the greatest country in the world and the wealthiest country in the world. Yeah, but the not teaching our children, preying on ignorance. Black schools are abominable. Yeah. Few black children get through school that can read beyond a third or fourth grade capability. That's, you know, you can lay that at the feet of the Democrats. And this is not a political message, you know, but they refuse to ratify the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, which gave the Negro citizenship because they were brought to this country. Yeah, they had children in this country, so those children were also citizens. And now today, because of a distortion by the Supreme Court, we have what's called anchor babies. If you get into this country and have a baby, it wasn't written for that purpose. It was written for people out of Africa that were brought to this country. And incidentally, no white man ever went into Africa and caught people and put them in slavery. And it's still true today that there are many people in slavery in Africa, in the various nations of Africa, with black rule. Yeah. And people don't get it. Yeah. And look what the Cubans got when they thought they had a savior in Castro. You know, they rejected Batista for Castro. Look at Venezuela, what they thought they were getting. In the natural realm, that's why we refer to politics, because we see it politically, that people that have held people in bondage are always the ones that are actually like they got them out of bondage. You know, and yet, when it came time for Martin Luther King and the movement during the 60s, you know,
Civil rights.
Yeah, the civil rights. The Democrats voted against it. It was the Republicans that passed the civil rights bill. But by keeping the people of this world dumbed up, you know, they think, you know, why do I need to go to school? Why do I need to be able to further my education? The government's promising me everything, and I can just spend all day at the beach. You know, and has anybody in a communist or socialist country ever spent all day at the beach? No, you spend all day looking for a garbage can that might have something in it that you can eat. Thus far is in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you that as believers in Jesus Christ, we'll stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that we have in Christ. And we see a parallel politically. We know that the Republicans are just as rotten as the Democrats, but the only ones that have stood for our Constitution in the present day are the Republicans. So we know the powers that be ordained of God will go and cast our votes, but your will be done, and no matter who is elected, it will be the one that you put in that position for the particular period of time that we're living in. We praise you and thank you for the truth of the Word of God, salvation in Jesus Christ, and all the blessings that we have in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.